The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody, to another week of Need to Know on Tony Curry Radio. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Now, I'm not going to go Mr. Rogers on you and put on my sweater. It's a little warm for that, and I won't sing the intro, but I hope we have that homey feeling of getting together weekly and talking about things of interest to all of us as Americans and citizens of the greatest country ever conceived. Hope you've had a great series of days since we last visited, and I think we've got an entertaining, thought-provoking show coming up for you here in just a moment. Want to remind you that Tony Curry Radio also has another Kip Kiefer production that we're very proud of, Wanna Bet. It's Kip Kiefer and Case Kiefer. Yes, he is related. He's my son. My oldest boy is the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun, and he's one of the foremost, particularly NFL prognosticators in the country. You know, our show on sports betting is just a subject that's trajectory is skyrocketing. There are some stations around the country, radio and certainly podcasting outlets, that their entire shows are devoted to sports betting talk. In Providence, Rhode Island, 24/7, one of their stations has adopted that format. So this is certainly something that is blowing up all over the country, and it's precipitated by the Supreme Court a couple of years ago making a 9-0 verdict. When's the last time the Supreme Court voted 9-0 on anything? This was such a slam dunk that states could not restrict sports betting. That if there was a mechanism, a law passed to facilitate that activity, that states had to stand aside and let it happen. So in Alabama, that is not the case so far. A lot of you listening here in the Birmingham metro area and throughout Alabama, but at the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, which is one of the sponsors of our program here today, they have a next best thing scenario, the sports parlay contest, which allows you to purchase other goods and services and use points from those purchases to make your selections and pick in a contest format the games of the day. And if you're successful, you get a cash voucher back that you can use for anything out there. At the track, and eventually you can cash that in. So the next best thing is available as we speak at the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Check that out if you're interested in that particular pursuit. Today on the show, Need to Know is going to feature what I like to call the Theater of the Absurd. Yes, indeed. We're going to go to the big screen in your mind and project some things that are happening that absurd is the perfect word to describe them. And let's get busy with that. Hopefully we'll have a provoking thought or some kind of perception on the subjects that we're going to talk about that sparks some activity in your mind to sit down and kind of think about your own views of different things. I always kind of preface the show by saying the idea here is to hopefully present some ideas that do provoke that kind of thought and attention to the various things that are on the list today. The first item on the big screen for the Theater of the Absurd is Congress. A lot of people's favorite subject. A lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, 85% of Americans when polled disapprove of Congress and their performance. Now, this is the House of Representatives and the Senate. I'm not suggesting that any of you don't realize that, but there was a recent poll, 56% of Americans could not name all three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, the judicial. That was an answer that eluded more than half of the people responding. And that's not a good thing, folks. We've got to get back to making people at least aware of our system and how it works, and really the genius of it that is being assaulted all the time. But back to Congress, I don't want to get off on too many tangents here. We got a long list of absurd items for today's presentation. Congress, 85% disapproval. I mean, that's not one party or the other. That's the entire body in the Senate and the House of Representatives. 50 senators, 435 House of Representatives, congressional people. That's a lot of folks, and Americans don't like them very much, or how they're, or what they're doing up there. I have ranted and raved on this program probably more times than you want to hear it again, but I believe those jobs made a transition a number of years ago from public service to self-service. You have to ask yourself how people of average means go to Washington. And hey, to be a congressman, it's a great gig. It's $180,000 a year salary. You've got big staffs that the government pays for. They fly you back and forth. You know, I don't think anybody in Congress buys their own meals, or certainly not their own drinks around town. But even with all that said, people that are able to serve a term or two or longer, which is the case most of the time, which is going to be the point of this discussion, walk away from those positions multimillionaires. And that is a head scratcher. You have to make it for $180,000 salary, even if you don't spend any money. It's going to take you a long time to amass a $10, $12, $14 million fortune. But the dirty little secret is, and we revealed one of the absolute examples a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Paul Pelosi earlier in the year buying stock in the semiconductor companies, better known as computer chips, American companies. And then just amazingly, after he spent more than $1 million in buying that stock, a couple weeks later, Nancy Pelosi announced that there was going to be a bill run through the House of Representatives to increase American production of those products. And she felt like it had a really good chance to pass. It sailed through the House. It went through the Senate. And the president signed it into law. And all of a sudden, Paul Pelosi is in the chips. While he was getting in trouble for drunk driving and ramming his Porsche into an SUV, he was always already cashing in at the stock market. And this is just the kind of example, inside information, knowing what's coming. And of course, the campaign contributions that all of these people receive there's an old joke about if they had more pockets, they'd have more money. That's the case here with pharmaceutical companies and big tech and other concerns stepping up regularly to hand over the loot. This is the most lucrative gig going. So with all that said, my point of the theater of the absurd item is that with 85% disapproval by Americans, isn't it kind of interesting, annoying, mystifying that the same people get sent back there term after term, election after election, year after year? There's very little turnover. These people serve long periods of time. So if the country is so disillusioned and disapproving of Congress, why do they keep sending the same people back there every election? And the only conclusion you can come to, and this is the absurdity, is, well, I hate Congress. I don't like what they're doing. They're not representing me. But my guy or girl, oops, I use pronouns. I'm not supposed to do that. Please don't call the politically correct police on me. Let me amend that. Our folks that we send up there are all good. They got our seal of approval. It's the other guys in the other 50 states and the other 434 districts of Congress around the country that are really missing the boat here and sending bums to Washington. We disapprove of everybody except for our person. So to me, that is a major addition here, blockbuster for the theater of the absurd. Let's move on now from Congress to our next subject. The reassurances that we're continuously hearing, and if you don't believe me, turn on the Sunday morning news programs or just listen to the president whenever he wakes up from his naps or comes back to Washington from Delaware. They tell you, and I quote, "The economy is doing great," unquote. The economy is growing. The economy is booming. We don't have to worry about an inflation. The growing economy is going to take care of that. Yeah, it's going to take care of it. It's going to make it continue to increase. The gross domestic product is how we determine if our economy is growing and thriving and moving forward. And gross domestic product under the previous administration grew throughout that four-year term until, of course, the pandemic slammed everything into reverse. But the bottom line is the last two, and these are every quarter reports, the last two quarters of gross domestic product for the United States were both no growth. And no growth for two consecutive terms means recession, which means the economy is doing anything but growing and booming. Yet they tell you, hey, the economy's doing great. Is the economy doing great in your pocketbook when you go to the grocery store and pay three times more now for food than you paid this time last year? When you pull into the gas station and fill up your car and it's $4 a gallon when it was $2 a gallon when this administration started, and they'll tell you gas prices are coming down. Well, that's swell since they got all the way up to $5, more, far more than double where they were. When you get your electric bill this winter and it's going to be three times more than it was to heat your home and keep you comfortable, there's a lot of issues here, and there's a lot of proof that a big bill item in the theater of the absurd is the economy is doing great. And anybody who thinks that, I don't know how you're making that conclusion, but I got to tell you, I think you need to reassess that. The economy is not doing great, and we are in a recession. Again, the definition officially of a recession is two negative quarters of no growth. And this White House has announced that, well, that should not be the definition. So, you know, we're just going to change the definition, and that's going to make it okay that, yeah, this isn't an economic problem at all. So the economy is booming. No, it's not. That's absurd. Theater of the absurd, item number three. You know, this one really, really creams my corn. I get so discouraged by the fact that the rhetoric now is anybody who does not agree and support the direction that this administration and this just overwhelmingly demanding left wing of the Democrat Party is really kind of pushing and succeeding in getting done. Anybody who disagrees with that, if there's any dissent or any disagreement, then all of a sudden you are stamped an extremist. And I even heard Bob say, and one of his spokespeople on one of the Sunday programs say, that, you know, to be this non-supportive of the administration and what they're trying to do for the American people is un-American. Au contraire, the theater of the absurd features this next blockbuster. Dissent and disagreement is what America is about. That is the whole concept. The free speech and free expression of ideas. If you don't like the direction, you can go on the corner, put down your soapbox, hop up there and tell people, I don't agree with the direction we're going. I don't like what these decisions are. I don't like the just absurd program in a recession of increasing taxes and dramatically increasing spending. It's the anti-reaction to what's happening. And anybody who expresses an opinion otherwise is an extremist. is a dangerous person, is a domestic terrorist by all purposes. And that is the definition of what America is not. Dissent and disagreement is the most American thing we have going for us. And, you know, that kind of rhetoric has got to stop. And the only way to stop it is to punish the people that are spouting it around. And once again, the ballot box is the great equalizer. You can't keep sending the same people back to Washington that make all of these ridiculous seizures of our government and our way of life and our traditions, and enforce only the laws that they think that will help their agenda and what they want to accomplish. Dissent is the most important weapon that we have. And one of the things they do to control dissent is just like these attacks, because if you go back and read Saul Alinsky's book, The Radical's Handbook from the late 60s, which basically is being executed by page by page in this, what amounts to a takeover of the American government, Alinsky said, ridicule is our most effective weapon. And that means anybody who disagrees, anybody who speaks up, needs to be ridiculed and chastised and now even canceled in our public arena, because that's the most effective weapon, because they can't refute anything on policy or common sense. So they have to attack the people that don't like what they're doing. And again, that's the most American thing we can do if we truly disagree. So that's number three. Dissent and disagreement is un-American, and that is frankly completely absurd. Let's move to energy. You know, we talked about the economy is not going well, and the main reason is any self-sustaining successful economy depends on a nation being energy independent. You've heard that term a lot. Before this administration came on board, America was cranking right along, producing record amounts of energy, building pipelines to get it to the marketplace efficiently and quickly. And on day one, the new president canceled all of that activity and bowed to the great masters on the left of the party, brilliant intellectuals like Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and the squad, and basically lived up to something he said during the campaign, that they were going to shut down the American fossil fuel industry. So people heard that and didn't react to it, which didn't make sense. Energy producing states still voted Democrat, which made no sense if that's your state's livelihood. The bottom line is the country, the reason that we've got high gas prices, the reason there's an energy crisis around the world, not just the country, is because we have dramatically cut back production and the construction of efficient ways to get that production to the marketplace. And if you look at some of the most oil and natural gas producing regions, the Anwar region of Alaska, the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of different places around the country, a lot of federal land where there's no drilling allowed whatsoever now. And despite saying that he was not going to stop fracking, that's exactly what Biden did on day one. On day one, what Biden basically did across the board was to cancel every single program, policy, and direction that Donald Trump was going. And that's what he did on day one. And here we are suffering the consequences now. The rationale is, and they don't even talk about it, when they talk about energy being in short supply, they talk about the renewable energy in the future and the green energies, you know, everything is going to be just so glorious. And the problem with that is, folks, that we're not ready for that yet. We don't have the sufficient amount of energy in the grid, which is powered by oil, natural gas, coal. You can't just junk that because we're not ready to go to the next step, even if it was advisable, which I still have serious questions that this climate change thing is the terrible danger that it's being portrayed. I think it's a vehicle to increase power and control in Washington, but that's a whole nother discussion. We could be producing enough energy for our needs and to facilitate European countries that now have cut off the Russian oil supply and are facing horrible problems, especially with fuel supply, because we're not able to help them. We can't even take care of our own needs. So it's really the definition of absurdity that we're in this boat when we've got, by just about every expert's estimation, at least 200 years of supply that's readily available to us that we're just not procuring right now. And that, to me, is absolutely absurd. This is a good one. Another theater of the absurd special feature. You've had people over the last few weeks in Washington, in the administration, saying the border is secure. Really? Well, you know, there's a number out there from the Department of Homeland Security that more than 2 million people have crossed the border, just walked in the country in recent times. And they'll say, well, you know, they're seeking asylum, so they're going to be processed. And no, catch and release is a program to just send them on their way. It came out this week that a lot of those people aren't even being assigned case numbers. So if they just want to disappear, they'll never be heard from again. I get it. There's a school of thought that these people are coming here looking for a better way of life, and all that's fine and good. But what's not being told is so many of these individuals are being basically recruited to come here. This is, you hear outrage from Republicans saying, well, the Democrats just won't even acknowledge we have a problem. That's because they don't think it's a problem. This is their policy. They want massive migration into this country. They want to give these people a driver's license and give them the right to vote. They're not citizens, but if we can get enough of a new group of people to be a major voting bloc, open the door, let them all in. Absolutely. This is what we need to maintain power and control, which you've heard those words 100 times on our program. So that's what's happening at the border. But don't let anybody tell you the border is secure. That's nonsense. The White House even criticized this week a guy by the name of Bill Malusian, who is the border reporter for Fox News and the only major journalist media outlet that is showing actual pictures of what's happening at Eagle Pass and some of the other border stations, of just hundreds of people a day wading across the Rio Grande River and coming into this country. A lot of those people have died doing that, drowned or died of exhaustion or other maladies from their trek here. And also, what's also not ever reported is the horrible reality that the Mexican drug cartels are making millions of dollars by being the financiers of a lot of this movement. And our boy George Soros, 94 years old up in Canada, George is also sending a lot of cash to grease a lot of palms, encouraging people to come to this country. So Volusian was criticized by the Biden administration, the reporter from Fox last week, because he was showing alarming reports almost every night. They have drones that are showing all the movements from the other side and people coming into the country. They are completely disproving all of the false rhetoric that's coming out of Washington that the other media outlets are not even reporting on. So we've got to wind this down. We're running out of time. Quickly, theater of the absurd item. Next up, Iran. We're still negotiating with Iran to try to get some kind of, quote, nuclear deal, but we're not negotiating with them. The theater of the absurd wants you to know that the go-between between the Americans and the Iranians will not talk to us directly because they, quote, can't trust us, unquote. So the Russians are the intermediary in the talks between the U.S. and Iran. We don't talk directly to them. We talk to our good pals, the Russians, who we are sending billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in weapons to fight them in Ukraine. But in this matter, we're all on the same page. They're the go-between because the Iranians won't negotiate with us directly. How absurd is that? Arch enemy of our country, we're trying to make some kind of kumbaya deal with that will certainly not benefit anybody in this country. At the same time, we're the other party involved is the party that we're, you know, funding a war against. That is the definition of absurd. Real quick, because we're just about out of time. This is one that nobody probably pays any attention to, but yeah, I'm just this kind of guy. Delta Airlines right now is running a series of commercials comparing air travel to the Odyssey. The Odyssey, of course, written by Homer about the journeys of Odysseus back in ancient Greece, trying to find his way home with his fleet of 12 ships and all of the diversions, the storms, the weird places they wind up, all the anxiety and adventures. It's the ultimate story about trying to find your way home. Delta is a great airline, a good organization, but whoever does their advertising, this is just beyond absurd to me. They say that the Odyssey is not about staying put. It's about being there. Well, in the Odyssey, the there that Odysseus and his men kept finding themselves in was not where they wanted to be. It was not about being there. It was about trying to get home. So maybe really subliminally, this is an admission by the airline industry that, yeah, when you get on an airplane or try to, assuming the flight's on time or not canceled, you are undergoing an odyssey because there's no telling what kind of experiences you're going to have, how many diversions are going to intercede, and how that's going to go. So I find that to be absolutely preposterous that an agency that probably is making millions of dollars for these campaigns compares Delta experience to the Odyssey because it's not about staying put, it's about being there. That makes absolutely no sense. Finally, Theater of the Absurd in the best possible way. We only have a few seconds. Albert Pujols hit his 700th home run in his career, 42 years old. He was released last year from the LA Angels. He was too old. He wasn't being productive. They just let him go. The Dodgers picked him up in the second half, but he still wasn't producing big time. He was on a goodbye tour this year with the St. Louis Cardinals, the team that he became famous on and piled up so many of his statistics. He was 21 home runs short going into the season at 679. For the coveted 700 club, and nobody gave him any chance whatsoever because he didn't play very much. Again, 42 years old. A funny thing happened, though, right after the All-Star break, Albert got in the lineup against left-handed pitching more often, and he started hitting bombs. He has hit 21 home runs now, and on Friday night, he hit number 700 against the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. He's only the fourth player ever behind Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth to ever get to 700 home runs. And by all accounts, he's one of the greatest guys, the best people to ever play the game. So congratulations, Albert Pujols, the Theater of the Amazing. Congratulations. We're out of time on this edition of Need to Know. Always appreciate you tuning in. We will see you again next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.